All right, Shabbosai, good morning. Let's begin a beautiful daf ahead of us today. Today's daf is Ayin 70. We are picking up Emeret Hashem on Samech Tesam with Beis at the two dots. Ovi Kochavim Shemei. Shabbosai, our shir this morning, a number of sponsors this morning. We have a week of learning sponsored from Binyamin and Nechama Grossman, honor of Ira Grossman's 70th birthday. Mazel Tov, Ameva Esm Shadim Tovos. A thank you to Melanie and Milt Gertner for dedicating the shir this morning in memory of Milt's mother, Fanny Gertner. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, Hashem will have an aliyah and the family in the Chama. Yesha Koach. And by Shlomo Yael Kanner and Zevi and Shoshi Daniel, in honor of Dr. Michael Kanner being Mesayim Shas again, and in honor of the rest of the Mesayimim, you all inspire us. Yesha Koach. To the Kanners and the Daniels, a special welcome to Dr. Kanner, a Mazel Tov, and a Mazel Tov to all of us. With that, let us begin. Ovi Kochavim Shemes. So say, remember again, the Mishnah says as follows. The Mishnah says that an Ovid Kochavim who dies is Tahor Milatame. Does not convey Tumas Meis. Says the Imar Tanya, Amar Rabbi Mipnei Ma'amru Ovid Kochavim Shemes Tahor Milatame Benasa. Why is it that when a Gentile dies, his body does not convey Tumas Masa? Very simple. Lefi Shein Tumasa Michayim Medivri Torah Medivri Sofrim. Well, say it's very simple. At the end of the day, a non-Jew does not convey tumah. There's a rabbinic tumah that is imposed upon a non-Jew, a tumas zav, that is imposed upon a non-Jew. But lamaisa again, that tumah is midrabanan and not midoraisa. So therefore, again, I say the only drabanan tumah applies when the akum is alive. But once the akum passes away, there is no longer any level of tumah upon the akum. Good. Tan Rabbanan. We'll say now this Gemara is going to take us over the course of the next block, really into a little bit of tomorrow's daf as well. It's quite fascinating. Tan Rabbanan. Shneimasar dvarim shalu anshi Alexandria, Rabbi Yoshua ben Chinina. The men of Alexandria, non-Jews, right? The wise men of Alexandria asked Rabbi Yoshua ben Chinina 12 different things, 12 questions. The 12 questions were divided up into multiple categories. Gimel divrei chachma. Three of them were matters of wisdom. Rashi says over here, divrei chachma means halacha. So three of them, right, three of the questions were matters of halacha. Gimel divrei hagada. Three of them were matters of agarata, right, homiletics. Gimel divrei boros. Three of them were just stupid questions, right? Rashi says over here, shtus, right? Shtus. Now we'll see what it means. Is three of them were just came from their flawed understanding. Gimel divrei divrei shtus and gimel divrei derech eretz. And three of them ultimately again were divrei derech eretz, which I will say were questions about just the way that people normally conduct themselves. So I will say, let's analyze. What are the gimel divrei chachma? What were the first three questions ultimately again? Regarding matters of wisdom, Hazov v'Hazova v'Hanida v'Hayoledes v'Amitzora Shemesu Ad Masai Mitamin b'Masa. So I will say the first question was as follows: so if you have a zav and a zava nida yoledes mitzora who died, when do they convey tuma b'Masa? Right? And so, what point in time do they convey tumas masa? Amram to which Rabbi Shulben Chinina said, Ad Shiyamo Kabasar, until the flesh decomposes. Okay. Bas Mishuleches Mahi Lakoi. Next question. What about, we'll say this interesting question. Bas Mishuleches is the following case. If a man divorces his wife, he is permitted to remarry her as long as she does not marry someone else in the interim, right? So Yaakov divorces Leah. So Yaakov can remarry Leah as long as Leah doesn't marry anyone else after she divorced Yaakov. What happens if halacha lemaisa she did? So Yaakov married to Leah. Yaakov divorces Leah. Leah marries Yitzchak. Yitzchak then divorces Leah. Leah and Yaakov reconcile. They get married. They get remarried. That marriage, of course, is asr. That is a law. That is a prohibition. We pass in kiddushin tovsin b'chayvi lavin, not like Rabbi Akiva, right? Ultimately, again, you could have a marriage even with chayvi lavin. That child, let's say now again, Yaakov and Rachel, after they get back together again, have a child. That child, of course, is the product of a forbidden union. Let's say they have a girl. Is that girl permitted to marry a kohen? That's what it means. Bas mishulachos mahi lekohen. So on one hand, we could say, mi arminan kavachomer. On one hand, you could say a kavachomer. What's the kavachomer? Uma amar lekohen galoshin yisura shava b'chol bakol bana pagum. So we'll say, when it comes to an amana to a kohen gadol, remember again, the prohibition of marrying an amana is unique to a kohen gadol. Right, doesn't apply to anyone else. So yet, amazingly enough, we know that halacha lemaisa, So an amana to a kohen gadol, which is not an iser that is uniform for everyone, bina pagum. If ultimately, again, an amana does marry a kohen gadol, and they have a child, lemaisa what? That daughter is usher to marry a kohen. Zu, she isura sheva bakol, eno din shevena pagum. Both say the concept of mishlachas, which is a woman who was divorced from her husband, marries someone else, and then remarries her first husband, that is an iser that applies to everyone. So certainly what? Certainly the child of that union should be prohibited to a kohen as well. Odilma, or the other possibility, is ma'la amana the kohen gadol, she asma mischalalis. On the other hand, I will say, when an amana marries a kohen gadol, that woman, that amana, herself becomes prohibited to the kahuna, which means what they're both saying. Let's say halacha lemaisa, an amana marries a kohen gadol, and then her husband dies. So she says to herself, what? I'm an amana. An amana is permitted to marry who? Pretty much everyone except the kohen gadol. So she's read a shidduch to another wonderful kohen. She is not allowed to marry a kohen. Why? Because that forbidden union with the kohen gadol disqualified her for the kahuna. Shabbos says, when an amana marries a kohen gadol, she herself becomes disqualified. Interestingly enough, that is not true by mushlachas. Take a look at the last Rashi on the daf. He atzma, mishenises lekohen gadol mischalales, shemes asur lehinase lehedyot. Dem haisa kohenes nefselas minachor mbiyaso dechsev, lo yichalu zaro ba'amav ba'amav zuishto. So I will say, so what's the halacha? So is the daughter of the mushlachas ultimately prohibited to the kahuna or not? So Rabbi Yoshua ben Chinina responds, Amar lahen, top of ayin, he to'eva ve'ein baneha to'avin. She, the woman ultimately again, who remarries her former husband, she, Rabbi Yoshua, is quote unquote the to'eva, right? Meaning she's the abomination, that she's the one who is engaging in the iser, ve'ein baneha to'avin. But interestingly enough, her offspring are not precluded from marrying into the kahuna. So interestingly enough, halacha lemaisa, the Gemara Rav Shmuel Chanan is saying that even though this couple did something prohibited by remarrying after this woman divorced her husband, married another man, now is remarrying her first husband, nevertheless, the offspring from that current union, which is really the same first union, is not prohibited to a kohen. Good. Next. We'll say these are all the questions of the Anshei Alexandria. Why they're fascinated about these topics is not immediately clear. Shnei mitzvah. Rabbi, so listen to this. Shnei mitzvah. Shnei avir kabbana saying zebazeh. Watch this, Rabbi. So we know a person becoming tar from tzaras has a variety of different karbanos that he has to bring. Right? There's the shtei tziporim. There's the asham. There's the chatos, there's the olas. So we'll say, what happens over here? You have two mitzoros, two guys going through a purification process. Their karbanos get mixed up with each other. Now, I'll say, under normal circumstances, karbanos get mixed up with each other. What do we say? No problem, right? It's not why. The good news is, they're all going to the same place, right? And we know what type of karbanos they are. So the truth is, we just do it with a tanai. If it's Reuven's, if it's Shimon's, it's no problem. What's the wrinkle over here? One of the mitzoraim dies in the midst of the sacrificial prayer. We'll see at what point. What do we do with the second mitzora? So we'll say, here's the problem. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says, "Hasheni matealav heich yitar lekachim shi'ilu hayu mitzora chaver uchai." What should we do with his karbanos? Because if both mitzoraim were alive, afal pishnis arvu karbanos seim zayikra v'lashem ishu v'zayikra v'lashem ishu. Oh, it makes echad v'hayoshnei karbanos befaninu hayo karbanos meisim v'zemakriv karban echad ava achshav eno yochal lahakriv as zeh shema shemesu v'havichatos shemesu balal. The carbon acher nami in a yachal lahavi shema also shekar of hayishos. So we'll say the problem over here is, as we're going to see, some of the carbonos were already offered. There's a chatas involved. You can't offer up a chatas posthumously. So we'll say, so the shail is, what do we do in this type of circumstance? Amar lahem, Rabbi Shua ben Chinina said, what can you do? A very simple approach. Amar lahem, kosev nechasav la'achirim v'hu ani. Very simple. The surviving mitzora, he goes ahead and he gives up all of his property. Essentially, he gifts away all of his property. What happens when you gift away all of your property? So let me say you become an ani. You're poor. What happens when you become poor? Umevi chatos ha'ov haba al hasafek. We'll say, now the good news is, once you become poor, you qualify for certain Beis HaMikdash programs, right? In other words, and among them is the Chatas Ha'of program. Take a look at Rashi. V'havi le'ani, v'roi la'havi bedalos v'chatas ha'of ba'as b'safek, v'ein sham mishum mevi chulin ba'azara. Shabbos said, listen to this. If you are poor, you qualify to bring the Chatas Sa'of. You don't have to bring your Chatas from a regular animal. You can bring it from a Chatas Sa'of. Now, both say, that's great. Besides the savings, what's also great about that is there's a unique halachic peculiarity about Chatas Sa'of, which is that what? That Lemaisa can be brought even al hasafek, right? It can be brought even out of doubt. So that's how he takes care of the Chatas. Okay. Vahayika Asham. What about the asham that the Mitzorah has to bring? Amar Shmuel b'shekara v'ashamo. Shmuel says, what's the case? The case is that before the first Mitzorah died, they had both offered up their asham offerings already. So Rav Sheshet says, really? Gavra rabba ki Shmuel, lema ki hai milsa? A great man like Shmuel should say such a thing like this. In other words, so you see, also, Rav Sheshet was not happy with Shmuel's answer. He thought Shmuel's answer was obviously flawed for the reasons we'll see right now. Kiman, Ikra Rabbi Yehuda. So we'll say, who's opinion this, would this reflect? If it's like Rabbi Yehuda, da Amar Asham Kaba. Now we'll say, here's what's fascinating. When it comes to establishing the fine, remember, the purification process for an asha, for a mitzora, is quite involved. There's a number of karbanos. Shabbos says, so interestingly enough, there's a recognition that at certain points in time over the process, the mitzora's financial position can change. And depending on his financial position will determine the types of karbanos that he's going to bring. So it's an interesting machlokes, as we're going to see, at what point in time is his financial position kind of locked in. So we'll say, now watch this. Shmuel just wanted to suggest that the case that we're dealing with over here is the asham was already offered, and pretty much you could take care of the... So we'll say, if the asham was already offered, that's out of the way, then the only real issue that still remains is what? Is the chatos. Right, because remember again, you can't offer up a chatas on behalf of someone who has died. So I have a way out of the chatas. What's my way out of the chatas? Surviving mitzora essentially gives up all of his money, writes all of his property to someone else. He becomes poor. He's now eligible for a chatas ha'uf. Chatas ha'uf can be brought out by, even in the case of safek. To which the Gemara says, one second. Whose opinion are we going like over here? In other words, we'll say what that means is, at what point in time do we say that the Mesorah's financial status is actually determined? If you want to say it's Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda holds that we look at his financial picture at the time that he offered up the Asham. That's what kind of locks in your financial status vis-a-vis the rest of the Karbanos. The Chevan de Kavala Asham Ba'ashirus Lo Matzim Maisi Chatos Bedalos. If that's the case, Rabbos say that he already offered up the Asham. Remember, in this construct, Shmuel, that you're describing, remember, when he offered up the Asham, Rabbos say, what was his financial state? It was good. Because even the advice to go ahead and write away all of his property was only for when? Was only for when? After the Asham was offered. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, ultimately, again, that won't work because financial status is locked in at the time of Asham. Therefore, the Chatas Ha'of option will not work. Disnan, Mitzorah Shevi Karban Ani Vehashir, O Asher Vehani, because the Mishnah talks about this. If a Mitzorah began his Karbanic process and he was poor, and then Baruch Hashem, he became wealthy, or he started the Karbanic process when he was wealthy and subsequently became poor. So we'll say, so he started out in one financial state, and now sometime in the midst of the Karbanic process changed financial states. So we'll say, so the Shaila is, how does he finish out the Karbanic continuum? Does he finish out as he started, or does he finish out reflecting his newfound financial state? So the Gemara says, Hakol holich achar chatas tiv Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says, it's at the time of the chatas that his financial status is locked in. So whatever you were at the time of the chatas, that's what determines the rest of your process. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Hakol holich achar asham. Rabbi Yehuda on the other hand says, no. Everything goes after the Asham. Everything goes back to Hashem. So we had this ready before. Hakol holich achar Hashem. Rabbi Yehoshua Omer, Hakol holich achar tziporim. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says everything goes by your status at the time of the bird offerings. So says the Gemara, V'ikir Rabbi Shimon damar chatas kava. And if you want to say it's like Rabbi Shimon, who says that ultimately, again, your financial status is locked in by what's happening at the time of your chatas. Af al gav de lo karav Hashem. Even though you have not yet offered up the Asham, Nesi Acher, let him go ahead and bring another animal. De Hashem, inalei the Rabbi Shimon de Amar, Lai Siva Lisni. Because also you've seen that according to Rabbi Shimon, you could actually bring an additional carbon, you could bring an animal, and you can make it tonight. What's the tonight? We'll say Disnan. Disanya, Am Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says as follows, Lemacharas, Mevi ashamo velugo imo, umamido b'shar nikarnan. And Abbas, now what's the case over here? Look at Rashi. L'macharas, Rashi says, L'macharas, b'safek mitzorakai. So also, interestingly enough, this is a case of safek mitzora. So in this case over here, again, the person is not sure about their status. So Abbas says, of course, the problem with a safek mitzora is what? Is bringing chulin la'azara. Right. Remember again, I both say it's easy to say I'll just offer up carbonos out of doubt. The problem is some that works for some carbonos, some carbonos can be brought with a tanai, and others cannot. So what do you do with a suffik mitzora? So the Gemara. So look at Rashi. The machras b'suffik mitzora kai v'karmer the machar shall tvilos do shuyom havas karbonosov. Maybe the Shomos will say. So now all of this. So the mitzora does his tvilos, right? He does his immersions, and what does he do? Maybe ashamo. He brings an asham with him. The lugo imo and the lug of oil with him. Umaamido b'shar nikanor. And remember again, he goes to shar nikanor. Umasna alav and he makes it tonight. Va'omer imitzorahu. Hare ashama velugo imo. And he makes the following tonight. If I am a mitzora, this animal represents my asham and the accompanying lug shaman. Ve'im lav, and if I'm not the mitzora, asham ze yehe shalmei nedava. Then let this asham ultimately again be shalmei nedava. Okay. Va'osa asham ta'un shchita. Amid beis. Va'osa asham ta'un shchita sabit safon. V'ta'un matanos bahonos. And Abbas said that particular asham ultimately again requires shchit in the north, and then remember again requires the blood applications, right? Matnos bahonos, right? On the remember again the mitzora has this interesting process where things are applied ultimately again to the earlobes, to the big toes. Vis usmicha unesachim utnufa chazei v'shok, and ultimately again there's smicha that's done, nesachim libations. Tenufa, waving of the chazei v'shok of the chest and the thigh. V'ne'echal l'zichrei kuhuna liyom v'alayla, and ultimately again it can be consumed by kohanim for one day and one night. Now watch this. V'lo hodu lo chachamim, lo Rabbi Shimon. But ultimately the chachamim did not agree with Rabbi Shimon. Why not? Mipnei shemevi kachim lebeis hapsul. Because I will say ultimately again the chachamim were concerned that I will say what are you doing? In Rabbi Shimon's model, you're bringing this asham as a with a tnai, right? And what are you doing? If I'm a mitzora, then ultimately again this should be an asham. If I'm not a mitzora, then what? It should be shalmei nedava. It should be shalmei nedava. Now I will say ultimately, so which sounds like a great plan. The problem is that the Chacham did not like it. Why? Their lashon over here is mipnei shemevi kachin lebeis hapsul, which literally means you're accelerating the window for disqualification for sacrificial items. What does that mean? Look at Rashi for just a moment. First of all, look at Rashi. Shchitas abetzafon umatan bahonos liyom v'layla kechomer asham utnufu usmicha v'chazei v'shok kechomer shlamim. So this is just to understand what Rabbi Shimon is effectively doing over here is he's doing a little bit of carbonic mixing and matching. On one hand, right, you're going to go ahead and do the shchita in the north, which is like an asham. On the flip side, you're going to do tnufa and smicha chazei v'shok like shlamim. Remember again, there is no concept of smicha by an asham. So we'll say this sounds like a great plan, except the chachamim don't like it. Why? Look at the next Rashi, the Beis HaPsul. The Gemara says, "Duma lo mitzoru," because perhaps again, this is not an asham. Maybe the guy is not a mitzora. V'havi shlamim, and therefore maybe this carbon is really a shlamim. What's the problem? Omemait zman achilasan. Shesorif es hanosar liyom valayla, v'hayolo lo ochlo b'shnei yamin. Listen to this. The halacha is that ultimately asham only has a 1 day consumption period. Shlamim has 2 days. Shlamim has 2 days. Now, obviously, when you're offering up this carbon with a t'nai, so by definition, remember, what you essentially have to do is you have to take the chumras of both carbonos. So how long will you allow consumption of this particular carbon for? How long? 1 day, right? Because, so therefore, what are you effectively doing? You're diminishing the consumption window. We never like doing that by carbonos. Why? Because essentially what you're doing is you're invalidating carbonos prematurely. So the Chachamim say, Rabbi Shimon, it's a great idea, but we don't like this idea of invalidating carbonos prematurely. Therefore, they disagree. Shmuel, so therefore, again, the Gemara says, Shmuel savalak Rabbi Shimon bechada. Shmuel holds like Rabbi Shimon in one of these cases. Namely, again, he holds like Rabbi Shimon that it is not asham which determines ultimately the financial status, but rather, again, the chatos. And he argues on a different case. In other words, so he gives Rabbi Shimon that it is not the asham that establishes the financial identity of the Metzora, but he argues with Rabbi Shimon in that, again, Rabbi Shimon holds that in this case, a suffix Metzora, you can bring in asham with al tanai, and Shmuel disagrees. Shmuel says you cannot bring in asham al tanai because of the reason espoused by Hacham, namely, Shemevi Kachim the Beis Hapsul. Good. We'll say next. All this is just understand. This is all the shilas of the Anshi Alexandria, right? All the shilas. This is incredible. We'll say beautiful, beautiful Gemara ahead of us right now. Beautiful. Shlosha Divrei Agada. So we'll say so now again. So what happens? So the really incredible. Shlosha Divrei Agada. So we'll say so the Anshi Alexandria asked Rabbi Shimon. I'm sorry, Rabbi Shua ben Chinina three homiletic questions. So we'll say when we see homiletic questions, we're going to be asking him questions on psukim. On psukim, it says the Gemara, Kasav Echad Omer. So I'll say, what's really amazing you're going to see about this is the Anshi Alexandria knew Tanakh, which seems to be a raya that we should learn Tanakh. Right? I'm just saying, it's an interesting idea. So the Gemara says as follows. So Shosha de Rega, the Kasav Echad Omer, Kilo Achpots Bemos Hameis. So both sides, on one hand, you have a pasuk that says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, in Yechezkel, that I do not want the Bemos Hameis. Literally, I don't want the death of the dead. Which I will say means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want the death of the sinner. He wants the sinner to do tshuva. Do tshuva, right? V'kas of Echad Omer, ki chofetz Hashem na'misam. Let me not get ahead of myself. One pasuk says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I don't want the death of the sinner. A second pasuk says, ki chofetz Hashem na'misam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to kill the sinner. So the Anshi Alexandria say to Rabbi Shua Bechinina, no, so which one is supposed to I just want to point out that ultimately, again, so the first pasuk is from Yechezkel, the second pasuk is from Shmuel Aleph. So it's actually, it's quite amazing that the Anshi Alexandria were so well versed that they're bringing a kasha. Like, if it was two psukim in the same parak in Yechezkel, that's one thing. But a pasuk from Yechezkel, a pasuk from Shmuel Aleph is really quite incredible. So which one is it? Does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want to kill the sinner or not kill the sinner? To which the Gemara says, Kan ba'osin tshuva, kan b'she'in osin tshuva. Let's see how incredible. Right? One pasuk is talking about where ultimately, again, the sinner does tshuva, and one is where the sinner does not do tshuva. So we'll say, isn't that absolutely incredible? Right? When the sinner doesn't do tshuva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, you know what? Whatever is going to happen to you is going to happen to you. Right? But when the sinner does do tshuva, then what? Then lemaisa, again, under those circumstances, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not want the death of the sinner. Pretty incredible, we'll say. Kasav Echad Omer, another pasuk. We'll say, I should point out, you look on your own in the Marasha. The Marasha has a beautiful arichos on this Gemara, explaining why the Anshi Alexandria were dafka asking these questions. In other words, why these questions? Actually, he does an incredible, it's fascinating how he discusses that these questions were dafka questions that they had because of their own Greek ideology and theologies. Meaning these are not just random questions. So you'll see Ayin Shom the Marasha, you'll take a look, he has a whole arichos. So I'll say, so again, if you do tshuva, then ultimately, again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I don't want anything to happen to you. Don't do tshuva. We'll say, and I want to point out, this is not painting a picture of a vengeful God who wants the death of the sinner. Who wants the death of the sinner if you don't do tshuva. It's just the opposite. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I allow for you to mess up in life. I understand that you're going to mess up. So to mess up is expected. What's the unforgivable part of Chet Rabbo says? It's a very important episode. The unforgivable part of sin is not that I sinned. We all sin. We all sin. The only variable is what? Right? How badly you mess up. Right? That's it. We all mess up. Any given day, we all mess up. So sinning is forgivable. What's unforgivable in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not picking yourself up and getting your act together. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I don't understand how you can't do that. I give you the opportunity to pick yourself up. Sheva yipol tzadav akam. You could fall down as many times as you need to fall down. You could fail as many times as you need to fail. The severity of sin is not in the act of sin. The severity of sin is in the failure to do tshuva in the aftermath of terrible life mistakes. That's what's happening over here. Because Baruch Hu says, I give you a way out. Every single time you mess up, I always give you a way out. I always give you a way back home. And failure to take that path back home, that's where there's culpability. Sigmar goes weiter. Next, Kazavachar Omer, Kilo Yisapanim lo Yikach Shochat. So also one pasuk says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu literally Yisapanim does not show favoritism and does not go ahead and take a bribe. The Kazavachar Omer, Yisa Hashem Panav Eilecha. And one pasuk says HaKadosh Baruch Hu literally again will show his countenance to you. God will show favor to you. So which one is it? Does God show us favor? Does God not show us favor? So the Gemara says again, Kan Kodem Gzardin, Kan La'achar Gzardin. So we'll say, Rabbi Yishuv ben Chinana answers it, that it depends. Before Gzardin, before God's judgment, final judgment, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows us favor. After final judgment, after Gzardin, there's no room for any more. There's no room for any more favor. That's the Gzardin. So we'll say, so you'll look, again, give me a good mind in the Como, especially if you're going to be on the bus today. We have a nice couple of hours ahead of us. I'll say, so you'll see Tosis. Tosis has a whole arichos over here also. What does this mean? Right after the Gzar Din is no ability to tshuva, so Tosis is mechalek, sometimes between individuals or ultimately in the collective. The Marsha also has this. The Marsha has a beautiful insight where he explains with this that, kind, again, everything is focused on tshuva. So you're both saying, fine, I'll tell you. So we'll say, so you have to understand something. A fixture of Greek ideology was this fatalist attitude, right? Fatalist, that there's fate, right? What was it? If you ever read Greek mythology, right? What's the story? All the Greek mythology can be summarized like in pretty much in one sentence, which is, man tries, the gods always undermine. The gods always undermine, right? And for sometimes, like, for no even good reason, just because they're looking to have fun with their human subjects. It's a fatalistic outlook, meaning man suffers from fate, and you can't control your fate. You can't control your fate. So we'll say, so much of what's happening over here, says the Marsha, is rooted in Rabbi Yishuv ben Chinana's effort to tell them, we don't believe in a fated existence. We believe in destiny. Destiny means that there are definitely certain fixtures that are going to be part of your life, but who you become, what you become, how you self-actualize, how you shape your destiny, that's totally in your hands. That's as the Marsha is like what they're arguing about over here. So the Anji Alexandria say, come on, how much do you really control? So Rabbi Shulman Chinna says, plenty. If a person doesn't do tshuva, say, you know what happens if you don't do tshuva? If you don't do tshuva, you're handing over the keys of your destiny to fate. You see, okay, I don't control anything. Tshuva is the ultimate way that I determine my life. I control my life. Maybe not a lot of the events around me, but the maisa, who I am, what I become, what I do, what I don't do, that's all in my hands. Can't call them gizar din. When's gizar din in life? When's the final judgment? 120, I will say. That's Gzar Din. That's what Rabbi Yishuv ben is saying. Kadosh Baruch Hu shows you favor as long as you breathe. As long as you breathe. That is before Gzar Din. That's before final judgment. Once you die, so the life you lived, that's the life you have to subsist on for all eternity. He goes weiter. Kasaver Charomer, Ki Baruch Hashem B'Tzion. So we'll say one pasuk said that Kadosh Baruch Hu chose Tzion. Tzion over here is a specific reference to Yerushalayim. The Kadosh Baruch Hu chose Yerushalayim because of Echad Omer, ki ala apiyav al chamasi haisa irazos lemin hayom asher banu osa ad hayom azeh. And we'll say, then close another pasuk. quotes another pasuk from Yirmiyahu. And Yirmiyahu says that my anger and my wrath were on this city from the day it was built until this day. So which one is it? Did HaKadosh Baruch Hu, love Yerushalayim? Or he doesn't love Yerushalayim? To which the Yomar also listens to this dramatic Gemara. Kan kodem shenasa shloma basparo, kan la'achar shenasa shloma basparo. But what's the HaKadosh Baruch Hu loved Yerushalayim before Shlomo HaMelech married Basparo. But after he married Basparo, and of course there's a subtext to that, is and Basparo introduced Avodah Zorah into the holiest city on the face of the earth, HaKadosh Baruch Hu lost favor in Yerushalayim. Which tells you something absolutely amazing, which is, I will say, even Eretz Yisrael, which has a Kiddusha on its own, right? Eretz Yisrael's Kiddusha Sameatzma has its own inherent Kiddusha. The Kiddusha of Eretz Yisrael is fundamentally tied into what we do, right? Even Yerushalayim Yer HaKodesh, I will say, the holiest city in the face of the earth is only truly holy if the Jews who live inside of it, or if the Jews in general, do what they're supposed to do. The moment that Lemaisa, again, I don't do what I'm supposed to do, even if I'm living in those walls, the city itself, its holiness is diminished. Which I will say again, all goes towards the same theme. You see the theme in all of these answers, which is what was Rav Shimon Chinuna trying to teach the Anshei Alexandria? Our actions matter. What we do makes a difference. What we do makes a difference because with tshuva, what we do makes a difference with gzardin, and what we do even has an impact on the holiness of the city of Yerushalayim. It's incredible. Incredible. We'll say the Gemara goes weiter. Shosha divrei boros. So we'll say three things which were just silly questions, right? Rashi said divrei shtus. We'll say ayin amud beis 70b, first wide line. Shosha divrei boros. Let's listen to this. They asked him, Ishto shalot ma'u shetetame. So they asked him, does the wife of Lot convey tuma? Remember again, the wife of Lot turned into a pillar of salt. So what are they asking? They're asking, does she have tumas mace or not? Does she have tumas mace or not? Amar lahem, mace metame ve'initziv melech metame. Ultimately, again, they said that what? That a mace conveys tumah, a pillar of salt does not convey tumah. Bosi, you're going to see the deeper meaning of this in just a moment. Ben shunamis ma'u sheyitame. Bosi, listen to this. Remember this story, the Isha Shunamis. Right, Isha Shunamis, who's miraculously has a son. Right, remember again, the boy dies, and Elisha brings him back to life. Elisha does tchias amesim with this boy. So they ask, the son of the Shunamis, ma'u sheyitame. After he comes back to life, is he still dead? Is he still dead? In other words, does he have the din of a corpse to convey tuma? Amar lahem, meis metame ve'in chai metame. So to which Rabbi Shimon Chinuna said, a dead person is metame, a living person. Rabbi say, do you hear what the struggle is, Rabbi say? Their struggle is with the concept of change. Right? Meaning at the end of the day, Eishes Lot, she looks like a pillar of salt, but she's still Ishes Lot. The Ben HaShunamis, he died, but he's alive. Is he still dead? So Rabbi say, in a faded existence, the notion of change is alien. So they're struggling with the concept of change. It's really all the same discussion. Does a person have the capacity to change or not? Rabbi say, how many people go through life and they say the line, this is who I am, this is what I am, this is my personality, it's broken, it's unhealthy, it's not good, no one likes you. Okay, but no, this is who I am. Okay, great. So you have a place with the Anshei Alexandria if you believe that change is impossible. Rav Shimon Chinuna was saying change is always possible. Not only is it possible, change is the greatest gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us. No, when Eishes Lot becomes a pillar of salt, she's no longer Eishes Lot. She's something else. The Ben HaShunamis comes back to life. He's no longer dead. He's alive. Change is not only possible, but change is what we aspire to in every single moment. He goes on. Next, Mason Lasalovo. We'll say another question. Mason Lasalovo. What about when the dead come back to life? Resurrection. It's interesting. Now, whether this means that Anshei Alexandria believed in Tchias HaMesim, or they were just asking Rabbi Shimon Chinuna in accordance with his own theology, whatever it was, this happens to be a great question. Mason Lasalovo. Tzrichin Hazar Shlishi Ushvi. Oh, Einzichin. People say this happens to be a brilliant Shaila. Although, obviously, I'm wrong because this is grouped over here with the Divrei Boros, right? This is linked with the. Listen to the question. Tchias HaMesim Mashiach comes. Is everyone who comes back going to need to be sprinkled with the waters of the Para Aduma? After all, again, we died, we come back. So do you require sprinkling with the waters of the Para Aduma? Amar lahen, l'chishiyichyu nechkam lahem. So essentially, Rabbi Shimon Chinuch says, you know what? When they come back, we'll figure it out. Right? We'll figure it out. So I say, on your other saying, l'chishiyava Moshe Ben Iman. Rabbi Shimon Chinuch says, here's the good news. That Shiloh is not going to be on my plates, right? That's not on my shoulders. Moshe Rabbeinu is going to come back as well. Moshe Rabbeinu will figure it out. So it's quite possible that what Rabbi Yoshua ben Chinna was really saying over here, Moshe, is a general concept that we have, that you see the Gemara espouses when it comes to messianism, which is we don't get involved in that, right? It is not our job to speculate what is going to happen with you, Moshe Mashiach. I believe in Mashiach. I know that Mashiach is going to come. Achak yelo b'chol yom sheyavo. But to try to figure out the details of what messianic era is going to be, that I'm not getting involved in. I both say, why not? Because there's something much more important than figuring out the messianic era, which is figuring out today, right? Much more important to figure out what's going to happen with Tchias HaMesim than to figure out how am I going to maximize my potential? How am I going to self-actualize today? So it could be that that's what Rabbi Shimon Chinuch was saying. Listen, great question. Really great question. But Lamaisa, when it happens, we'll figure it out. Good. Shlosha Divrei Derech Eretz. We'll say this is an incredible Gemara. Three things. Divrei Derech Eretz. Which I will say means way of life. Derech Eretz, see, we often translate Derech Eretz as midos, right? But lav dafka, that it has to be midos, right? Lameisa, what it means is just a way of conducting yourself. So listen, we'll say this is a great Gemara. Ma yase adam v'yachkam. We'll say, what could a person, is Anshe Alexandria asking Rabbi Shimon Chinuch, what could a person do in order to become a Talmud Chacham? So I will say, so just you have to understand something. See, I will say, it's not a new thing that people are always looking for sgulas, right? I need a sgula to become a Talmud Chacham, right? So Anshe Alexandria, what's the sgula for becoming wise? So you can imagine how this exchange, Rabbi Shimon Chinuch probably strokes his beard, incredible shadow things, and he says, oh, I've come up with it. Amar lahem, yarbe bi yeshiva. Oh, you want to become a Talmud Chacham? You probably should sit and learn, right? You probably should sit and learn. Let's say, I'll tell you, I mentioned this in a different shir. This is going to go back a number of months ago, that Matzei Shabbos, it's a Shabbos, I was holding my talis after V'yitin Lecha. This young man actually came over to me. He says, you fold your talis in shul? I said, yeah. He said, don't you know it's a big school of a Shalom Bayis to bring home your talis and fold your talis at home in front of your wife? I said, I never heard it, but I'll tell you even a better school of a Shalom Bayis. Be a mensch, right? Bring home flowers on Erev Shabbos, right? Treat your wife with Derech Eretz. Always say thank you for everything. I don't know if it works as well as folding your talis on Matzah Shabbos in front of your wife. But Lamaisa, I was so shocked. Skulas for Shalom Bayis? Like, you know, I'm just like, all right, maybe it's, again, I don't, Chasam, not at all. There are beautiful skulas. The point that Rabbi Shimon ben Chinuch is trying to say here is that Lamaisa, again, Yarbe B'Yeshiva, you want to become a Talmud Chacham, fantastic. That requires effort. V'Yimayit B'Schora. Well, so now let's analyze this. What does it mean, Yimayit B'Schora? It's very important. What does Yimayit B'Schora mean? Literally diminish your business dealings. Now, both say, I want to point out two incredible things over here. What doesn't Rabbi Shimon ben Chinuch say? Don't work. This is very important, Rabbi. So this is very, very, very important. What Rabbi Yoshua ben Chinuch is saying is, never think that the only path to becoming a Talmud Chacham is full immersion to the exclusion of everything else. That's not true. Because that's not how the world works. People have to work. And the incredible thing is, you can become a Talmud Chacham and still work. But what does it become an issue of? Priority. There could only be one thing at the top of your pyramid. So what is at the top of your pyramid? Is Torah at the top of your pyramid? Or is your career at the top of your pyramid? So that's what it means. Yarbe be yeshiva. Yarbe could mean amount of time, but it could also mean priority-wise. What is the most important thing in your life? What is the most important thing? Is it your career, or is it your Torah? So a person saying yarbe be yeshiva, which also on a basic level means you have to devote the time to learning, and it might mean a little less time in the office, or it might just mean rearranging different priorities. But Rabbi said, but what I do want to point out is something very important, which is sometimes we think that Talmidei Chachamim are the people who reside bein kosei beis hamedrash, right? Those are Talmidei Chachamim. Me, I'm a balabas, right? There's Talmidei Chachamim, and there are balabatim. Rabbi says, see from here, it's pashut not true. It's not true. Whether you're a balabas or whether you're living being kosei beis hamedrash, everyone has an obligation to become a talmid chacham. And the question is, how do we structure our lives in such a way that we have the ability to really not just be kovei itim, which is incredible, but to really push ourselves to try to become talmidei chachamim? He goes on, Amru, harbe asikim v'lo hoi elahem. So let's listen to this. So they said to Rabbi Shimon Chinuna, this is incredible. The Anshei Alexandria, they must have just observed. They saw, well, many people did this and it didn't work for them. Or there are many people who spend a lot of time learning and even spend less time working, but they're still not great scholars. Ella yivakshu rachamim mimi shachach mashalo. So Rabbi Shimon Chinuna says, you're right. In addition to going ahead and being marbe bi yeshiva and yimait bischora, in addition to putting in the time to learn and making sure that your priorities in life are correct, you also have to daven. You have to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu ultimately again to become a Talmid Chacham. Sheneemar, ki Hashem yitin chachma mipiv das utvuna. So we'll say, amazingly enough, Rabbi Shimon Chinuna says, you're right, it's really a three-pronged approach. Marbe bi yeshiva, yema'it bischora, and davin to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Tani Rabbi Chiya, mashal melech basar v'dam she'asa suda la'avadav, u'meshagir le'o'avav mimi shalafanav, mima shalafanav. This could be, the mashal to this, Rabbi Shimon Chinuna says, is a king, an earthly king who made a suda for his servants, and what happens? He goes ahead and he sends food to all of his followers, to all of those who love him. So the idea is the king has all of the stuff. He shares it with those around him. My kamashon. So we'll say, where does this come to teach us? So we'll say, what the Gemara is saying is like this. If you're telling me that at the end of the day, this is such a profound Gemara. If you're telling me that at the end of the day, really it's dependent on tefillah. Right? Look at Rashi. Look at the last Rashi. My kamashon. Lama leila meimar, yehu yarbe bi yeshiva, hoil barachim hadavar taler. We'll say, this is wild. So now that you're telling me that it's really dependent on tefillah, then what? Leave out my rabbi yeshiva. Right, leave that out. If it all comes from God, which then Rabbi Shimon Chinuna is saying, then the ma'aseh leave out my rabbi yeshiva. To which I will say, and we can make this into a bumper sticker. Daha below ha lo sagya. Rabbi will say, this is our approach to life in every matter. Ha below ha sagya. I need to daven, but I also have to work. I need to daven, but I also have to learn. In other words, I will say, it is this incredible synthesis of efforts that makes the complete Jew. I have to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to ask Him to bless me with incredible success in all of my endeavors. Absolutely. Without that, I get absolutely nowhere. But Lamais, at the same time, I must recognize that what? I must recognize that without HaKadosh Baruch Hu, nothing gets off the ground. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu also only works with those who help themselves. So Lamais, put in your effort in your schor, in your business. Put in your effort, ultimately, again, in your learning. And together with your tefillos, your efforts will be blessed with incredible success. The Gemara goes on. Ma ya'asa adam v'yis asher. Oh, here's a good one. Right, that's right. What can I do to get rich? So Amar Lahem, so remember they're asking Rabbi Shlomo Chinuna, which Rabbi says is also incredible, because think about this. This is the Anshei Alexandria asking Rabbi Yeshua ben Chinuna for advice about how to get wealthy. Which Rabbi says, I don't know. Maybe Rabbi Yeshua ben Chinuna was wealthy. I don't know. But Lamais again, what it also shows is a certain respect, a certain Kavod HaTorah, that they understood that this Rabbi Yeshua ben Chinuna, had wisdom and answers. So what should you do if you want to become wealthy? So listen to this. Amar Lahem Yarba Bischora. V'yisa v'yitei me'amuna. So what does it mean? What does it mean, Yarba Bischora? Yarba Bischora means what? Work hard. Work hard, but be honest. Work hard and be honest. That's the secret to wealth. I, Amr la harbe asu kain v'la ho'er. By the way, if you notice, what doesn't he say here? What doesn't he say? He doesn't say Yarba Bischora and what? And you might be yeshiva. Right? So I want to be clear. The moment that your financial success comes at the expense of your Torah, that's not going to be an enduring success. So the ma'aseh, what it means is work extra hard. So you're going to have to, there is no success without hard work. No success without hard work. But lest you think that hard work is also a license to cut corners of honesty, no, yisa v'yitin be'emunah. They said, but many people have tried this approach and it doesn't work. Rather, we'll say what it also means is that what? Is that you also have to ask, HaKadosh Baruch Hu for help with your business. So we'll say, it's the same question. After you're telling me now that you need tefillah, which tells me what I will say. Everything is in the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So then why even Marbe B'Schora? Why do you have to even put in the extra effort in business? Just go ahead and daven a bit more. To which the Gemara says, Ha below Ha. Ultimately, and we'll say the teaching that what that halacha lemaisa, one without the other will not work. The Rabbos say again, tefillah is important, working hard is important, and this synergistic partnership between man and God to bring about favorable results is ultimately what results in success. So we'll say, we'll stop over for today. Well, the Mir Hashem pick up with this daf tomorrow morning. Again, more Anshei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we'll say, it's Kedai to probably come like 5:43. By tomorrow, right? Because again, Anshei HaKadosh Baruch Hu is continued, preceded by Mesilas Yesharim. Vosai Yasher Koach and Mazel to all those traveling to the Siyum today. Beginning of a number of incredible days of Yom Tov for our Shir and really for Gans Klal Yisrael.